Well, who received a surprise this morning? Less than two hands of people. Less than two hands of people. There's a few late ones too, all right. Some people received a surprise, and they're usually good surprises too on Christmas Day. All right, well, we'll try another one. Who did lots of planning for Christmas Day? Right, yes, from front to back people have been planning. Who's done planning for next Christmas Day? Yeah, there's a couple of people. Yes, and even Margaret remembered that she's done some planning for next Christmas Day as well. Now, God had planned that first Christmas Day. How long ago had he planned it? Hundreds of years previously. And God's plan extends beyond the miraculous birth of the baby who was called Jesus. Why was he called Jesus? Because he was going to save the people from their sins. That's why he had that special name, because he was going to save people from their sins. Now, we know that God had his plan fully mapped out because parts of it had been revealed to prophets hundreds of years previously. It's a little bit like WikiLeaks. As we have a look at chapter 2, we have a look in verses 4 to 6. When the king had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. Another one was leaked. We look at verse 15. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And then in the last verse, we get another bit. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. Now this is a bit complicated. Coming from Bethlehem, from Egypt, from Nazareth. Now, the studious priests and scholars had these parts of God's plan, but there were still many unanswered questions. When was it going to happen? How could the Messiah come from all these different places? Now, God not only had a plan, but he provided his words to the people that mattered. Initially, he provided his words to the prophets. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit to record what God had told them. God had told his people to pass his words on to succeeding generations through the teachers of his word, telling the men who each year used to go up to the temple in Jerusalem for a few special days for special feasts. And then the men were supposed to go home and teach their families. And not many people could read in those days, all right, so it was a case of remembering in your brain and remembering these important facts. The whole nation was to attract other nations to believe in God by the way the nation behaved, but the priests and the teachers didn't do their job properly, and so the people were largely pretty ignorant of God's plan. God had to speak clearly to the key people. How did God communicate with the Magi, who were not Jews? What was the first thing he did? He had a star, didn't he? And then, when they'd come along and the king had said, you know, come back and tell me and all the rest of it, they weren't particularly dumb guys, these star followers. But how did they get the message to avoid Jerusalem on the way home? Through a dream. And God still speaks to people in that area of the world through dreams even today, because lots of them don't have God's Bible. So he spoke to them in a dream. How did God communicate with Joseph? Because he hadn't been taught God's plan in great detail. If you read through, It's by having an angel appear to him in a dream each time. So God had a plan, God provided the details at the essential times, and God protected the baby Jesus. The Magi obeyed God, they bypassed Jerusalem on their way home. Joseph obeyed God and he took Jesus and Mary to Egypt, the land next door, out of reach of Herod's solution to what he saw as a threat to his rule. What was Herod's solution? Kill all the children. And he had a safety margin as well. He didn't just kill all those who were born on the 25th of December. He killed all those that were anything up to 2 years old. He had a rather generous margin for error. Not just the boys in Bethlehem, but the boys from round about as well, just to be sure. Again, after Herod had died, Joseph obeyed God and returned from Egypt to his own country. To make sure that Jesus would be safe, Joseph took his family to the back blocks of the land, to Nazareth. How many people have been to the Holy Land? Oh, well, yeah, all right, couple down here, somebody up the back. And there would have been a few last night as well. Now, we've been to Narrabri. I know that because you wouldn't be here if you hadn't been. So we've got to look at it in Narrabri terms. If Narrabri was Jerusalem, where King Herod and the chief priests lived, Bethlehem was about as far from Jerusalem as the Thompson's property Abundance is from Narrabri. Now, that's up the Moree Road just past the wheat research station. That's only as far as Bethlehem was, right? Not very far, but in those days people didn't sort of get on the highway and zoom off on their cars. They only went by donkey and that was pretty slow, so they didn't go very far. So that was where Bethlehem is. Now, going to Egypt to escape the evil ruler would be like walking up to Queensland to escape our state parliament, right? You go next door to Queensland. When Joseph came back to the promised land and wanted to have a low profile, he not only came back the distance to get to Jerusalem, but he went more than 120 kilometres beyond Jerusalem. So coming from Queensland, that'd be like going on to Coonabarabran. Or where do people go to have a low profile around here? Lightning Ridge? Okay. You think of it. If he'd brought the baby Jesus back to Bethlehem, he'd have been the only kid in kindergarten, wouldn't he? Because all the boys had been killed. He'd stand out in Bethlehem. And that's why God warned him in a dream, keep going. And so they walked all the way, another 120-odd kilometres. And it wasn't flat, it wasn't plain land, it was hills. But all of God's protection, all of God's protection plan only worked because the Magi and Joseph were obedient to God's instructions. Now, God has a big plan to save sinners. God sent his only son, Jesus, to save people from the consequences of their sin by dying on the cross. God's plan was provided through God's word, initially in the Old Testament part of the Bible, and when that was largely ignored by people, God provided his word through Jesus. Now, because Jesus is God as well as human, he tells us what God wants to tell us. He is the Word of God in the flesh. Now, we read of God's plan in the Bible. We hear God's Word preached. We can listen to recordings of it. God has provided us with translations into hundreds of languages so that people can understand his Word better. And God speaks to us directly through his Holy Spirit. Now, God not only has a plan, God has provided details of the plan to us, and God has promised to protect us as we obey our part in his great plan to save people. We're looking at Matthew chapter 2. If you turn to the end of Matthew, the very last chapter of Matthew, we can read God's word there. Here we can read the part that God wants us to play in his great plan. God has provided the way he wants us to go about his work in the Bible. Let's read it. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," the king, right? "Has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God has a plan. He's provided the details of it in his Bible, and he gives us protection as we go about his work. His protection is promised in that last sentence, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Magi obeyed God, giving Joseph time to move Jesus and Mary from the coming danger. Joseph obeyed God, giving Jesus a safe upbringing. It's up to you and me to obey God, to get news of God's rescue plan to the rest of the world. We need to encourage people to trust in Jesus so they can be saved from their sins. As we rejoice this morning in God's gift of his Son to us, the challenge to us is to obey God and to take our part in spreading this good news to a world that is largely blind to the significance of Jesus. God has a plan. God has a part for you and me to play in his plan. God provides the details through his word and through his Holy Spirit. And God protects those who go about his work. So enjoy today. Share the good news. And may God's gracious blessing be upon you and your families. Amen.